We're back.
We left and we returned. We're still talking about capitalism because there's just a lot to talk about, TBH.
It's our economic system, so we'll never stop talking about it because this is a podcast of patriots who need no further investigation or focus on them at all.
Yes. God bless America.
I have not one but four American flags in my classroom, if you did not know. I wasn't going to buy it, but you cawing made me feel like I have to now. So it's a magnet of an eagle's body, and then when you turn it on, lights come out to look like the wings.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's literally, I told myself I'm not buying anything else for my classroom, but then I saw this.
Well, you have to do what you have to do at the end of the day.
So. Do you see it? So it's like, it's just the body, and then you turn on the lights, and it's the eagle.
Yeah. Oh, you need that.
Because I'm trying to not use the big light anymore. Like, I think it's contributing to a lot of negativity. It's contributing to a lot of negativity and a lot of problems for me and them. Mm-hmm. And I was going to buy those little fabric things to that magnet on there. Do you know what I'm talking about? But so I didn't try it, but someone told me that the custodian told her to take it down because it was a fire hazard. And I just felt like if I go through the effort to put them up, I'm not taking them down. So I returned them. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I want other lights and the eagle light. We might have to do it to him.
So today on Teacher Quit Talk, here are the things that we wanted to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet. You know us. We'll see how far we get. Who's to say if we'll cover it all?
But we can go anywhere we want.
We really can. This is our podcast, goddammit. So one is workforce preparation.
I think I'm part of that problem.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it depends how you do it and what you're doing. But the other one is corporate influence on curriculum, which I am very passionate about.
I have so many thoughts about corporate influence on curriculum.
I know.
Because if you had asked me a couple years ago, I would have been like, no. But now that I've taught the public school curriculum in two different states and then also taught a College Board curriculum, which is a private company, I'm like, I don't know, man. The capitalist people, their documents are a lot more clear. They're a lot more straightforward and robust with their resources. But I also think part of that is because College Board has faced so much justified backlash about how unequal they are. So within the last 10 years, they've started producing a lot more stuff for free. So that's why as a teacher, like, I like getting these free resources that have like a lot of effort put into them. But if no one had yelled at them for decades, I don't think they would be doing that out of the kindness of their hearts. You know what I'm saying?
As we discussed last week, they never do anything out of the kindness of their hearts. They just do it for money and incentive.
And PR.
And oh my God, the PR of it all. I mean, look at what's happening in our country with DEIA right now. It's like these corporations are jumping out the ass to get rid of DEI when they're like, you are not affected by the executive order.
Like,
private company.
Like, why were you so eager for that? Like, why? Like, no one said your name and they were like, yeah. Like, yeah, no one said anything to you.
No, it's so fucking weird.
Will say thank you, Kroger, for standing on the right side of history. I am a frequent shopper of yours. Kroger had their Black History Month display loud and proud at my local Kroger. They do lose some points because the graphic was very obviously AI and it had Harriet Tubman on it four different times. Not to say she doesn't deserve it, but just feel like there were some other people that probably also deserve to be on there. Why did it say Harriet Tubman next to Africa? Like, her name was just in the ocean. So, like, I give them 10 points for doing it, and they're back down to 8 for doing it not as well as I feel it could have been done. But they did it. I can guarantee you there's no AI Harriet Tubman Africa poster at the Department of Defense right now. I can tell you that much.
No. Oh, my God. Also, didn't have to do that.
I wanted to make a TikTok about this, but I knew I would get eaten alive. But I think you guys can understand what I mean. Even though I don't like the military, I had, like, respect for certain branches because they're, like, difficult to be in. So if someone's like, oh, I was a Marine, I'm like, oh, you can do hard things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Marines' work, but, like, I can recognize it's a difficult process to get through. I unfortunately lost so much respect for the Marines like 2 weeks ago because one of them came to my classroom to recruit my students and he told us he doesn't know how to swim. And now I just feel like all the things that I thought about Marines, I'm like, why do you not know how to Marine? Like, why can't you? What do you mean?
You got the ick about a branch of the government.
I did. And then he told the kids, he goes, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. And I said, that is very contrary to everything else I've heard about the military. And now I've anytime ever since then, like if I see a Marine ad on TV and they're swimming, I'm like, no, fake.
They're fake.
Fake news. Like, fake. What do you mean you can't swim and you're a Marine?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm befumbled right now. But you know what? Why should I be?
And after he said that, a girl in my class told him to leave.
Get out.
I was joking when I said this, but he came in and said, can I have a minute of you guys' time? And I said, I'll even give you 2 minutes. And then after he said he doesn't know how to swim, this girl looks at me and goes, yeah, I think it's been a little over 120 seconds at this point. I think we can wrap it up.
I'm obsessed with your students.
And I was like, thank you, sir. He'll be here all week in the lunchroom, folks. Like,
I'm seeing a lot of very blatant, exposed bullshit.
And now they're like, the Marines can't swim. And we're done with DEI.
Yeah, like what?
Teaching them to swim was DEI. And we're done.
It's a wrap. So anyways, yes, these companies, I have a really hard time with it because I'm like, I just don't like people making money or turning a profit on something like education. Like, it just bothers me.
It feels
me.
Icky.
It does feel icky, but at the same time, I hear what you're saying where it's like they – you know, I've gotten boxed curriculums where they at least include things for English language learners or, you know, differentiation is baked in or whatever. Like, I see that they have all these resources so teachers don't have to do it by themselves. But I also am like, but you guys are in the, like, standardized testing machine.
And I also feel like, it's kind of like, what's that saying? If he wanted to, he would. And, like, the reason that the standardized testing companies that make a lot of this curriculum, why a lot of their curriculum is quote unquote better. And by better, what I mean is like more professional, more clear, more organized, because like whenever I get stuff from my state Department of Education or from my district, links don't work. Things are outdated. Things are misformatted. Things are like it literally is just unprofessional. And when I get it from College Board, I have a 500-page document that's full of hyperlinks, specific examples, links to outside – like, it's just professionally put together. And it's because, like, it's a business, so they have to serve their customer, so they're incentivized to make it good and organized and professional-looking. And the government just doesn't give a single fuck about any of us, that they have no incentive to make the resources good and organized and professional-looking. Because when I log into my state Department of Education website, they're not competing against anybody else. Like, all their fuck-ass links that never work and are so weird and undownloadable and uneditable and all this stuff, like, it's not like I can just go to a different website and get it from somebody else. Like, they're my only choice, so they have no reason to make it good.
That's another thing that state to state is so different, where it's like a lot of countries have national curriculum, and they're like, this is what you teach. No matter where you go in the country, you will be teaching and learning the same things. But states and school districts and individual schools have so much control in the United States, they can just basically do whatever. And that sucks, too, because it's like if – your state is using the College Board curriculum and a kid moves to a state that's using a freaking Houghton Mifflin. I don't know how to say their name out loud, but like one of those curriculum, they're very different. And like state to state, they have different priorities. So like a California curriculum will have things about like gay rights and gay history and systemic racism. Texas is like, we have the Ten Commandments on the walls, y'all. Like,
meanwhile, they were ready to hang me like a fucking witch when I suggested we not use the word Indian in curriculum discussing the Native Americans. They said, according to Gallup polling, that's the least offensive word. And I said, what Gallup poll? What year was that? 2010. They said, well, until we get updated Gallup numbers, we're not changing it. And I said, all right, okay, I'm the crazy one yet again.
And meanwhile, Florida is like, And slavery wasn't that bad. I'm always like, we need a more national curriculum on some level, because why are they allowed to be like this?
The age-old debate of this godforsaken country is like federal versus state control. We've been fighting about it since before we wrote the Constitution. Like, it has been a fight again and again and again. And I just don't think, like, anyone has wanted to die on the state versus federal hill for education, which I kind of understand. Like, I see why it is this way, because, like, if you're going to die on the hill of increasing federal control, that's a hard thing to get past. So I think a lot of people feel like with education, it's, I don't feel this way, but I can see why a lot of people feel like it's not worth it, because it's not something that people really extensively complain about a ton. Like, outside of education, this is a non-issue for most people. So I see why no one wants to be the guy increasing federal control over something, because that has, like, a lot of stigma around it, even if it would be a net positive, you know?
Yeah, totally. These states and these schools are, like, marketplaces where these publishing companies are competing for contracts.
Yeah.
And then they're so influenced by what's going on in the broader political world that it's like, again, back to the idea of education being something that we can compete about and have, like, the free market for, when that's just not the best thing for teachers and students.
It's, like, such a hard topic for me to talk about, because I feel so differently professionally than I do personally.
Yeah.
And that's what's, like, tough, is figuring out what, like, a happy logical medium is on that. Because definitely what we're doing right now is not it. Like, I think we can confidently say this is not working.
It's shitty because a bunch of stuff is happening to teachers and to education, but they're not asking teachers their opinion. They're asking politicians who've never been in the fucking classroom, and they're also asking textbook companies.
One thing that, like, this is semi-related, but, like, not really, of something that, like, I've just been thinking a lot about, that I have a lot of feelings about, is I feel like, no one eat me alive for saying this, education has lost the plot in terms of content. Like, I feel like education now has, like, so many things going on with, like, the testing and the tracking and all of that, that I feel like we've started to really devalue content knowledge and explicit instruction. And I think that that kind of goes hand in hand with these curriculum companies, because, like, one thing I got really upset about the other day is I got a 40 on my grad school assignment for my lesson plan, and, like, it was pretty bad, so I'm not even going to sit here and say it was, like, I shouldn't have gotten a 40, but it didn't piss me off that I got a 40. It pissed me off that she left a comment being, like, this isn't detailed enough. An administrator or a sub should be able to pick this up and teach it, and I find that really indicative of, like, scripted curriculum and all these curriculum companies, when, like, having subject area knowledge, I feel like, is not nearly as valued as it used to be from my perspective. I haven't been teaching for that long, so I'm just comparing, like, when I was a student to now, so I'm sure I'm biased, but they're so focused on, like, the sales and the activities and the curriculum and the testing and little booklets and things like that, that we've kind of lost of, like, what are the kids actually learning? What are we actually teaching them? Like, it's all buzzwords and graphics and graphic organizers and modules, but no one's really drilling to, like, what are they supposed to know? What are they actually learning? Not what script are you using, not what version of this number game are you using. What is the actual explicit instruction here? And that's one thing a lot of my kids complain to me about, and they don't say it as eloquently as I did, but they say, you're the only teacher that explains shit, is a frequent comment I get. They say everyone else just gives us work and modules. And I'm like, I feel like that's part of our problem in education right now, is, like, these companies have so much control and teachers have so little control that we don't even view teachers as instructors anymore. These companies view them as facilitators, which I think is gross.
I think that's one of the things, that's the degradation of education, is coming from not teaching critical thinking and not teaching the why behind things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just such a detriment to our students. A lot of companies that do standardized tests, like Pearson, McGraw-Hill, Harcourt, they also do curriculum sales.
And, like, no one makes any money when I give a 30-minute lecture and have a group conversation with my class about the causes of the Civil War. Someone makes money if I go put them on an online program and assign them 2 modules, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Like, there's no contract and no money to be made from me just, like, sitting and chatting maybe reading an article we found for free online, as opposed to, oh, we spent thousands of dollars on this program. Go and use it.
Oh my God, yes. We spent so much money, you have to use it. And I think this is a potential conflict of interest because you're teaching to the test by using the curriculum for the test. And it's like, yes, we need to focus on measurable outcomes so that we can improve education. Like, of course, we can't just not have any data for shit and just be running around doing whatever. But this then limits these kids to learning stuff that is on standardized tests. And if you're not a tested area, mm-hmm. you might not have a great curriculum, or your school might not have bought a curriculum at all. And it sidelines yeah. educational goals like critical thinking or anything in the arts. So we're going to get like math, science, and reading. But when we look at the test scores that are coming out of these states, I don't even think that we're getting good education in those areas, even though that's tested and those are what we're supposed to be hammering home with these curriculum.
No, I think boxed curriculum is just like so flawed, and so I don't want to say there's never a place for it, because like we've said, like I've gotten cute little ready to go things that my kids liked that I felt like were effective, but more often than not I feel like they don't make sense. And this is another thing, like what I was saying of like content versus whatever. I was having a conversation with a coworker of mine where she was frustrated about some people in our building. I'll leave it at that. And I said, I was like, I think there's two types of teachers in high school. There's teachers that became teachers because they love their content, and there's teachers that became teachers because they love school. Like, they love doing the fundraisers and hosting the things and making activities and grading and working with students. But they maybe change subject area a lot. They've changed grade levels a lot. They don't give a ton of explicit instruction. Their class is very based in modules, activities, textbook things here from there. But I've noticed a lot of those people do a lot of the shit that I'm horrible at, like fundraising, hosting parent teacher conference night, running the PTA, like doing all these coaching things, like things that I think are good for the school community, and I'm not good at them. So I'm not going to say that like this type of teacher is like bad or anything. But I've also seen a lot of teachers who do a ton of that stuff and then don't have a ton of content area knowledge and will just like pull some things together. So I have mixed feelings about it. Because what my colleague was getting frustrated with was kind of what we're saying. Like, we're given resources that don't match our curriculum, and then the people telling us what to do don't know the curriculum. And I was kind of trying to tell her, like, hey, I hate it too, but, like, these people have other strengths, so just ignore them and try and remind yourself of, like, the positive things they're doing for the school. But I think, like, to me, the most important part about teaching is the content and me knowing it. And I don't have to know every single date and fact, but I need to have a comprehensive enough knowledge base that I can answer questions, I can guide their thinking. And maybe it's different because I teach history, but one thing I've noticed that's really missing between like stuff that I've done myself and then these pre-boxed things is the pre-boxed things don't have a story arc.
Like, oh my God, yes.
My class, they've said they really like my class because I try and make it as much of a story as possible. I really try and teach from the cause and effect perspective. And like, so like I, in Florida, I was supposed to teach westward expansion after the Civil War, but I rearranged our curriculum to teach it before because I thought it helped you understand the story arc of as we went west, people fought over slavery and that kind of caused the war. To me, it just made more sense that way. And I've noticed boxed curriculums don't do that. A lot of times, especially for social studies, it feels like a bunch of very disjointed, random things, and they're not building. I've heard the same thing from math teachers, that it'll be like these isolated skills, but they don't flow mm-hmm. together.
I thought I hated history in school. If you would have told me that I would be talking about anything related to politics as an adult, I would have thought you had lost your mind and maybe I had hit my head somewhere along the way. It was always dates. It was always facts. It was always disjointed. I did shitty in APUSH because I couldn't remember these crazy dates and all of the forts and like shit like that. I mean,
you also took the old APUSH. They redesigned APUSH and now, to get away from that. And now it's much more about, they call them key skills, I think, that they're supposed to learn over time. is cause and effect, connection between geography and economy and conflict, and then continuation over time and change over time. And they've kind of steered away from like the, what was, how many fucking people died at this fort on this day? Because like you said, it's stupid.
Yes. And the way that you teach it, it just makes so much more sense. And that really is what's important. It's not about what day shit happened on and how many people died specifically. Like, it's about the impacts and why it happened. I don't understand why a textbook company wouldn't. You're a book. Tell a story, damn it. Like, hello.
I really think the difference is like the right hand not talking to the left, because I think within a company you have all these departments, and department A was in charge of this and department B was in charge of this, as opposed to when teachers and smaller groups are developing their own curriculum, you're making more decisions as one person controlling it, kind of like pulling the strings. It reminds me of this thing that my grandpa said that I don't want anyone to misconstrue, but he said a dictatorship is the most effective form of government. And he said, say what you will, but they get shit done. That's like, yeah, your committee of 30 people made some terrible math modules, but if one teacher who knows their group of 30 students pulls some stuff together, it's probably going to end up serving them better.
One thing that I had no idea about when I started talking about education on the internet is that not every state uses Common Core state standards. I thought Common Core was every single state. No, there are
there's a lot of states that don't.
Nope, there's a bunch of states that never ever adopted them, and there's a bunch of states that went away from them and don't use them anymore but once did. And I was so shocked by that, but like, we look around and wonder like why education is so disjointed and inconsistent around the country, but we're funding by property tax and we have no common standards. Okay, I get not having a curriculum nationwide, but holy shit, you guys couldn't even decide on what students are learning, like what the goals are here. Like, we can't even agree on that. Like, I don't know. I
feel like people forget that not that long ago every state had their own currency. I feel like people really forget that, like, in the scale of human history, that was not that long ago.
I didn't know that. I don't know anything. Yeah.
And like, the U.S. isn't that old.
Why did we ever unify? We don't really seem like we want to be.
It was more like, all right, none of us alone can beat England. And we don't really know you guys, but it seems like we have common business interests. So let's do this.
Oh my God. Nobody wants to work together.
We were a country that really, not that long ago, all had different currency and were trying to kill each other and rip apart into being separate countries. So we're going to say we're shocked we can't agree on what math to teach kids across our land. Like, I expected worse from us, honestly. I'm surprised we're all speaking the same language.
As a parent, I want my kids to feel confident in school in every way, and of course, academics will be a part of that. But I know, especially once they enter grades I've never taught, I will need a little extra support to keep their learning on track. I've already been poking around in IXL for my daughter, who will be in preschool soon, and I really like it. IXL is an online learning program that helps kids with math, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to their needs, providing personalized practice that's engaging and effective. And it's backed by research. Kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests. What I love most is how IXL gives students the right help at the right time, whether they're struggling with a concept or pushing ahead. One subscription covers all grades, pre-K through 12th, so it's all in one place. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students are learning with it right now. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The other thing that is like coming in with capitalism is the way that different states' job markets prioritize different educational goals. Areas that are dominated by like tech, the Bay Area in California, for example, they're going to be super, super honed in to getting like STEM grants and teaching kids things about their market. And then regions that are really heavily dominated by manufacturing, they're going to be pushing for things like vocational learning and like labor on the job learning. And on one hand, it's like, great, kids are getting a more well-rounded curriculum, but then you look at it and you're like, but they're also missing X, Y, and Z, or they're not necessarily getting a choice. Like, maybe somebody in rural Louisiana wants to do a freaking robot thing and be a STEM major in college.
Give the Louisiana children robots immediately.
Yeah. And maybe the kid in Oakland, California wants to fix
be
cars.
A farmer.
Yeah, why you don't know. Not? You don't know.
One of my friends teaches in the Everglades and literally, like, doesn't have a classroom. Like, he teaches in soil. Like, the kids come outside.
Love that. I've looked at forest schools for Jay. That's where we are in our journey.
It's a public school, and his class, it's a public middle school. And you know how they have, like, the little, like, you go to art, you go to music. Mm-hmm. I forget what his is called. It's called, like, ecology or something like that. And they go outside and they plant little things. And literally, he has a shed.
I love it.
He said, he was like, I'm gonna die at this school. He was like, what other job do I get full health insurance to just hang out outside all day?
Oh my god, that sounds like my hell, but I'm so happy for him.
Right? I was like, couldn't be me, but like,
thank god you exist.
Seems buggy, but
yeah, exactly. My gosh. I mean, when I was watching Linda McMahon's confirmation hearing, there was a moment that if I can figure out how to clip it, I will. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with my shitty recollection of it. But there was a senator who used to be a football coach, and he turned into a senator.
Football coach to a push teacher to senator pipeline.
Mm-hmm. He had very strong opinions about public education that were what one might expect. He had a very thick Southern accent. I don't know who this man was, but I'm not going to look it up. He's insignificant to me. But he was talking to Linda McMahon about vocational training and workforce training. And the way that he was talking about it was not the way that when AFT or NEA talks about it, like how important it is to give students a choice-filled future and allow them to choose vocational training if they want to. It was very like everyone should spend half of the school day doing vocational or job training. And then Linda McMahon brought up how back in her day, they could work a job half the day. And they
didn't
have to
thing.
Go to school. Yeah. And she was like talking about bringing that back. But that, of course, is a thing. My brother went to Votech. So I'm just like,
I have a lot of kids who have work release that they only take a couple classes and then they go, bye bye. Have fun at the McDonald's or wherever you're going.
Yeah. Especially senior year when it's like you kind of, you know, you're winding down. It just was very strange the way they were talking about it, given that we already have these things. And I was like, is this mandatory? Like, are they trying to make this a mandatory thing that's happening? And then
maybe this is their plan to fix the United States infrastructure.
It was weird.
I've been waiting a while to hear their plan for that. Maybe this is it. They said, oh, no, let's put the children to work on our roads and bridges.
Because aren't we also lowering the child labor law?
A lot of states are. Because the child labor, there's not really national guidelines around it. I think there's like a couple vague ones that are like the bare minimum, kind of like minimum wage. But every state gets to set their own. So every state is different. And I know a lot of states in the last year have been lowering it because, especially like post-COVID, they've been lowering it because they can't find employees because they don't pay enough.
It was just a very weird conversation given the broader world that we're living in where I was like, huh. And then, of course, Linda McMahon's like, it's not one size fits all. And I'm like, you just... Okay, that's different than what I just heard you say, but all right. Very strange confirmation hearing. But I think that that's interesting as well because, like, we do want to prepare our students for the workforce and we want to give them a choice to do so. But, like, we need to also have a well-rounded curriculum and class offering for our students.
And I feel like at a bare minimum, because like to the point we were making earlier about it's crazy that our country doesn't even have like a baseline of what should be achieved. And I understand people's hesitation to nationwide standards and things like that. I really do get it. But I feel like what a bare minimum would be that I think realistically I was going to say any reasonable person would agree to, but then I forgot that everyone in this nation's highly unreasonable, is it should be like certain skills at different marking points. So like by third grade, they should be able to do X, Y, and Z. By fifth grade, they should be able to do X, Y, and Z. And then maybe eighth grade and 11th or 12th grade. So that way, like, it's up to the states how they want to get there, what order, how they want to do it, how they want to test it. But this is the marker, like, all right, by third grade, you should be doing multiplication and division and be proficient in that. Like, just to at least give people some kind of national guideline of where their child is. And then also if a kid moves, they'd hopefully be a little less screwed over. Because I've had a lot of kids that joined my class like halfway through and I'm like, all right, so this is what I'm like, what were you doing before? And they're like, nothing. And I'm like, great. You missed the Revolutionary War. Hit it with a Google is the advice I'd give you.
I mean... Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, but there has to be something, like some kind of guiding light, so we're all going in the same direction.
At least, I'll even give up the third grade. Let's say 5th, 8th, and 11th.
Yeah, something. And you would think, the thing that's baffling to me is you'd think that the far right, who is so into the military, would be into supporting military families and their children who have to move all over God's green creation all the time. It's like going from state to state is miserable. My brother, he had to like do a bunch of catching up when he came from Pennsylvania to California because the California class schedule is so much more accelerated than Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So like he had to scramble. There was something about calculus that like his old calculus class didn't match the new calculus class, so he was very confused and he had to go backwards to go forwards, and it was really stressful for him. It like fucked up his college applications.
It's a lot. I've had many kids in that boat who they're just like, they either repeat a math or skip a math. It's just a lot, and I really feel for kids in that boat because it seems really annoying. Yeah. And like I have one kid in my class right now, this probably says a lot of not great things about me, I didn't realize he's a ton younger than the other kids because his old school did their schedule differently. So I don't remember what went wrong. But basically, he's in my class now because his schedule is weird, because some classes that my kids are going to do, like junior and senior year, he already did, but he hasn't done the whatever. He's like a full 2 or 3 years younger than all the other kids. Had no idea. He's absolutely bodying them on the test. And I told them that because they were making fun of him for being younger. And I was like, you're really that much younger? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, that's embarrassing for you guys.
Yeah.
I was like, why has he gotten the highest grade on the last 3 tests?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way it works, at least in my state, is the state is like, this is the credits you need to graduate. It's up to the school what order that happens in. So some schools, most schools do U.S. history in 11th grade. That's what my school that I attended did as a kid. That's what my school in Florida did. That's very common, but it really is up to the school. So this kid's school, like, they did economics first and government first, which actually I don't hate, because normally you do those senior year, but I'm like, U.S. history would be easier if you already did gov and economics. Like, so I'm not saying that any school's right or wrong in it, but it's just chaotic as hell. Like,
yeah. The thing for me is I don't understand why these politicians get on the world stage and say shit about how much better other countries are doing, but then they never want to do what the other countries are doing.
My co-teacher sent me a Facebook Shorts video of the kids in China doing calisthenics and then goes, can we do this with our class? And I said, absolutely. When?
Even Donald Trump was like, China's kind of crushing it.
And in Japan, they make the kids clean the school. They don't have janitors.
Go back and listen to our Mr. Worldwide episode, you guys. It's really good.
The Japanese children are more effective than the American adults at janitorial services. And I really think we need to reevaluate some things here.
We absolutely have to reevaluate some things. And I do not understand why we look at these countries. We'll bring up countries that are doing amazing. And half of the people will say, well, they're not as diverse as us. Okay, let's look at what they're doing anyways, just for shits and gigs, all right? They have extremely strong teacher unions, which if we look at states that have strong teacher unions, oh, guess what? They do way better than states that are not unionized. And then we have...
Who would have thunk it?
Imagine. And then they have very strong federal oversight of the curriculum and standards in these countries. And I think that there is a world in which we could just have some type of fucking benchmark, but I don't think we ever will have some type of consistent benchmark, especially if we have these testing companies that are in the pockets of different states and they want to appeal to the market and the economy of each state.
That's what I was about to say. Even though I love my idea of having like nationwide mile markers at certain ages, I don't think we should do it because I'm so confident we would fuck it up. Like, I'm so confident it would turn into the biggest testing, money grab, falsification of data we'd ever seen. Like, everyone would absolutely be fucking with their stats. There's no way that information would be reliable. And it would just turn into another way for testing companies to make money. So, like, I think we should do it, but only if I become the czar.
I think you should be the czar of everything.
Me too, but
here we
are. They don't want to hear that. But no, we have... I was going to say something mean about Elon Musk, but I don't want it to get clipped and put on Fox News.
I just talked to another teacher the other day who was like... She was like apologizing to me. She was like, sorry, I haven't said anything about the state of the world. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You have a full-time teaching job and people would certainly like to get you fired. What do you mean? Do what you're doing.
My students were asking me with like all the innocence in the world. They were like, why is he there? What's his job? They were like, is he the vice president? And I was like, no. And they're like, so what's his job? And to look at them and have to, with a straight face, be like, he made a new department called Doge.
Like the crypto coin with the dog?
And the kids were just like, what is that? They're like, why is he at the White House every day? And I was like, I
don't know.
I was like, you know who else is at the White House every day? A lot of people are there every day.
Yeah. They just don't get to do press conferences in the Oval Office with their child.
I was like, we're living through unprecedented times. And then I always just go to, I'm like, imagine being alive during World War II.
I want to say one more thing about this textbook shit. I want to go backwards in time.
Go backwards to the textbooks because I hate them.
So when we're looking at states like Texas, who obviously they're very, very red. We've talked about Texas many a time on this podcast.
They're easy to talk about. They're really big, so they're easy to notice.
Yes, and because they're very, very big, they buy millions of textbooks. So when these publishing companies are competing for the affection of these states, they're going to maybe tailor their books a little bit to make them palatable for these very gigantic red states like Texas. I think people in California forget. I am from California. Well, I'm not from there, but I'm here.
No one's really from California except the natives, if you get what I was like. Yeah. Everyone's there pretty recently. I'm watching Deadwood right now, and it's true.
It is true. I think people in very blue states forget that shit that goes on in other countries will feels like that sometimes. People in blue states forget that shit that goes on in red states absolutely affects them. But
yeah,
when we have publishing companies tripping over themselves to get the most money out of these states and they're tailoring their shit to Texas to be like, Texas, pick me, love me. Well, that's going to affect you in your little blue state if your school district says, how? I know this Pearson. I can buy their textbook for us because it matches our test. Like, I don't know.
Wrong. The lie detector test has determined wrong.
Yeah. And then you get shit like people calling indigenous peoples Indians, which is
that is
not
literally
correct
in the state standard. And I always have to tell my class about it. I'm like, all right, so you're going to hear me say one thing and then the test questions might say a different thing. I always do, and it's in a lot of our written material too, because I read aloud to them a lot. That my new class is really into me reading to them. I feel like a kindergarten teacher. And so a lot of our resources say the Indians, whatever. And I'll say it if it's in the name of something, like the Carlisle Indian School. Because to me, that's right. It makes sense. If it's just not being used that way, what I say is the Native Americans, who many people incorrectly call Indians, as our text says. And I literally will say some version of that every time. And I go, are we in India? And they're like, no.
Good. I mean, that's the kind of critical thinking we need going on. It's worth noting that just because there are Native American people who call themselves Indians, you are not one, so you may not. You know what I mean?
And I also had a lot of people, not a lot, but some people come after me for saying Native American instead of Indigenous. I say Indigenous if I'm speaking broadly, but yeah. I say Native American with my curriculum because the curriculum is America.
No, I looked it up one day.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. There is a National Museum of the American Indian, and they have an article called The Impact of Words and Tips for Using Appropriate Terminology. And that's the article that I read through, and it's like not long at all, but it talks about American Indian or Native American, and then it says, you know, talk to the person or group which term they prefer to be called, which should be common sense, but it is not. And then there's a section that says tribe or nation and why so many names. And it's like, if you're not in the group, you have to just kind of be as correct as you can.
And if you're Pearson, you can just go with whatever the most offensive choice possible is and then sell it to millions of people.
Oh, Pearson. God damn it. Okay. So anyways, all that to say, capitalism, man.
It has a deep, deep effect on our education system, on our teachers, and I think overall it is generally bad, but occasionally it does have a W. My current W is AP Classroom.
There you go, folks. We're going to end
Broken clock is right twice a day.
A little forehead kiss to capitalism to close her out.
I can't do that.
We love you. Next time we're going to talk about something else. I don't know.
Something.
Toodles.
Bye.